Look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicle's Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
All right, nice to have you back with us here at the Public House. Bruce Jenkins joins us on this Saturday morning. Bruce, how are you?
Hey, Marty, how are you?
Very good. We've got, you know, it's so funny in baseball. You know, we have the pennant races. We have all sorts of stuff going on. But it seems like every day there's something off the field that happens. And we had another week. Last week was a Facebook. We had to go through all that. This week, it's gambling. All of a sudden, now we've got baseball, you know, the Black Sox turning over in their graves, Pete Rose. And here we got now gambling coming to baseball. How about that?
Yeah, well, there's so many scenarios that you envision. It's disturbing to me. I mean, for one thing, I never bet on anything, or never get into fantasy leagues or anything, because it's the wrong way to watch a game. If you're just watching a game, you know, because you'd rather win money than your favorite player hit a home run and that sort of thing. You're watching the game for the wrong reasons. But I mean, it opens a lot of doors that you might just want to keep closed. I mean, you know, you have to think about athletes being bribed. I know they make a lot of money, but, you know, that's a possibility. The umpires come into question. You know, does the computerized strike zone make more sense now because it takes the, you know, the onus off the umpires? You know, there's a lot of, with a lot of money at stake, a lot of nasty things can happen. Drunken fans who are about to lose their shirt coming down and screaming at people. I don't know. Kids thinking it's okay, you know, millennials turning into desperate gamblers.
That's good. No, really, no, you paint a real vivid picture, because baseball is different than football. It's every day. You're always looking for inside information. And the game is slow, and it unfolds slowly, so you could bet on in the third inning or the fifth inning, or whether the umpire is going to roll the ball back to the mound, and it'll stay there. And, yeah, you know, how many pitches will be thrown in the game, how many relievers, and all of a sudden you'll be sitting there, and, you know, the place will go wild when the fourth reliever comes in for Tampa Bay.
You know. Yeah, I mean, and, you know, little private bets go on all the time, especially in the East. In New York, you've got guys betting on stuff the whole, just between, you know, the two of them, or a bunch of guys betting on this and that all the way through the game and money changing hands. So.
Well, that's the way it used to be.
Yeah.
You know, the gamblers had their own spot in the ballpark.
Right.
And they would do just what you said, exactly what you said. And, of course, baseball tried to clean it up, and they had the police then infiltrate the bleachers and throw the people out and all that stuff. But now, you know, it's funny, just to take it one more step, talk to Nick Hundley about it, and Nick Hundley didn't seem to care. And he says, look, we're ball players, we'll do what we have to do. And then I talked to Crawford about it, we'll hear from him later, and he sort of implied what you did, that, you know, you got someone betting a lot of money, who knows what could happen.
And it could get ugly, yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing is, in life, we grew up without gambling in baseball. And people, as you say, the millennials or other people have grown up with fantasy football, fantasy baseball, fantasy everything. So they're sort of around gambling a lot where we weren't. And baseball always was a sacred area.
Yeah, and, you know, it's going to reach the point where you don't even need to go to a kiosk or call your bookie. There's going to be, you know, phone apps in the stadium, so you can just sit there on your phone, not even get out of your seat and place a bet. Talk about a brave new world. I don't know.
Well, so, Bruce, like, on that thought, if there's guys sitting in the stands placing their bets, I mean, are we going to get to a point then where, if this is commonplace, where managers and coaches are now being asked questions post-game about what moves they made based on money that was won or lost?
Yeah, because it'll become a thing. You know, fans will get so angry that there'll be this big commotion, and you wonder, what's that about? Well, you know, the over-under was blown, and so, absolutely. I mean, and again, I mentioned the umpires, too. I mean, why did he call that pitch a strike? You know, it's a lot of pretty dangerous territory that we're venturing into here.
Yeah, you bring up a very good point about the computerized strike zone, the electronic strike zone. Look, Belt spoke out about Doug Eddings the other night, that Eddings said to him, all right, let's get the game over early. Jocko Conlon used to say that. I'm going out to eat. Come on. Everything's a strike after the seventh inning. It's kind of the way baseball was, but maybe we're heading closer to the electronic strikes, and I think we are.
Well, I think the gambling is going to really bring that issue to a head. And it's going to make a lot more sense to people that it is computerized, because you know when it's out of the umpire's hands, it just simplifies things. And I'm just so tired of hearing the scouting report on the umps every night. Well, he calls a lot of high strikes, or he's a low ball ump. That's complete bunk. I mean, you know, it's just I just get tired of it. And I'm sure the players do too. They got to sit down before each game and plot out their strategy against a guy who may not call the strike zone the same way that last night's guy did.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tricky one. We're talking to Bruce Jenkins here. And Bruce, I want to move along then to something a little more general in baseball. Giants are going to go to Houston this week. They're going to face Verlander and Cole. Justin Verlander got his 2,500 strikeout this week. He actually got it against Shohei Ohtani. And then you're thinking about guys who have been, elite in the game for this long. Where does he rank for you among the greats in this generation? I know Scherzer and Kershaw are up there, but this guy's done it from his rookie year to the present. Multiple no-hitters, playoff runs, postseasons, World Series. He's almost the only guy to do it of that group.
Yeah, you're talking about Verlander?
Yeah, Verlander.
Yeah, I always think back to the couple of years when the A's faced Detroit, and they're all excited about getting the playoffs, and Verlander absolutely stuffed them.
Game one and five, right?
Yeah. And the whole Houston staff is phenomenal. But you mentioned that Ohtani at bat. That was interesting. I try to watch all of Ohtani's at bats in one way or another. And, you know, he's been fantastic. He's been adjusting. He's hitting low and in pitches. He's hitting away pitches. And Verlander completely humbled him. just tentative swings. It was really interesting to see the next time around, too. But, you know, for the Giants, whose hitting comes and goes, that's going to be a real tough series, especially against him.
Yeah, especially, Cole is...
And Garrett, Cole is it lights out, too.
Yeah, he's got the spin rate, whatever he's done. He's spinning around on a top or something. But
spinning in his grave, I think.
Really, along with John McGraw.
Yeah.
And Buck Weaver.
Yeah. Right, and the great Hal Chase. But hey, how about Tampa Bay tonight? They're going to start Sergio Romo because they don't want the starter to face the top of the order three times. So they're going to start Romo for the first inning, hopefully face three or four batters, then bring the starter in the second inning, and that would allow him to go through the lineup twice. So they're going to start with Romo. How about that?
Yeah, well, that's a product of, you know, they're terrified for starters to face the lineup three times. But it's interesting from this particular matchup because it's a radical difference going from those frisbee right-handed sliders to a lefty coming in, you know, throwing heat. I get that, you know, because the difference between those two guys is so radical. But just as a rule, I don't think this is going to catch on. I mean, I know it's an old school thought, but I kind of like the idea. If you got two starting pitchers, and who's going to win this battle? Right now, the starter is going to be out in a half an hour. We'll get a new guy in there.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting to see how this works out. Romo for Tampa Bay tonight will start.
Real quickly on that, it's a shame that Ohtani won't be in there because he's pitching tomorrow, because Romo against Ohtani would be a hell of a matchup.
That would be good.
That
would be good. Ohtani has six homers. Five of them are to dead center.
Yeah.
Harper has the lead with six. How about that?
Yeah, that says an awful lot. I don't think Ohtani could draw it up any better because he's hitting the ball to all fields. When he really squares it up, it seems like it goes to his dead center, that no park can hold him. That guy's just eternally fascinating to me. We've talked about him so often, but it's worth it. I mean, they talk to Ichiro about him, he goes, "You can't even compare me to this kid because he's changing the world. He's changing the game," you know, and which, you know, down the line we might see the effects of that. But regardless of where you think his stature is, he's really interesting to watch.
Didi Gregorius is in the news. Bruce, this guy had an April that he looked like Honus Wagner had come back. In May, he's 1 for 45. How about that?
Yeah, well, he's somewhere between 1 for 45 and hitting a three-run homer, you know, two out of every 3 days. He's a good ball player, and he's proven to be a pretty good money ball player, too. It's like Ian Desmond. You know, okay, he's the worst hitter in baseball. Well, no, this guy's a pretty good hitter. This guy's got a track record, and he showed it last night. The guy can hit. Stuff like that. 1 for 45 is pretty drastic, I'll give you that. But
yeah, but interesting.
He's a good ball player, Gregorius.
Great shortstop. How about Brandon Belt this week? What do you think of him?
I mean, what, this guy, he goes between just launching home runs. I think you might win that bet, or somebody's going to win that. You have to, who's going to hit more home runs, Goldschmidt and Belton? I said it wouldn't be close, and I think it's going to be probably very close right now. He's on a pace for 35 homers, and he looks the part. And then this other side of him is sort of pathetically taking a called third strike, you know, and the fans get on him, and it's back and forth. And, I think Belt is right most of the time because he's got a good eye, but it's amazing how the public opinion sways back and forth so radically just, you know, in the course of 10 minutes.
We had Owen Poindexter on today, a great name. He's the analytical guru from The Athletic. And he said, of all the major league hitters, the hitter with the highest average launch angle of all the hitters, Brandon Belt.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, well, okay.
Well, he's hitting home runs. He's hitting them out.
Yeah, and he's got to continue that. They got to have that in the middle of the order. He's going to be the guy that leads the team in home runs, the guy they expect to hit a big bomb late in the game. He's done it throughout his career, and, you know, he just needs to – he needs to get the whole strike zone thing figured out, which, you know, as it's impossible because every night you get a different ump, and he's a little confused right now. But I don't know. It's such a two-way thing with Bell. But I just hope that maybe he'll start protecting the plate a little bit more. Just foul off a pitch if it's even close, because you have to with these guys.
Yeah, he is. He's getting more aggressive early in the count, and I think that's a big part of what he's doing.
Yeah, you don't want to get to two strikes.
No, and especially today with this guy, with John Gray. This is a top of the rotation kind of guy. Well, Mac Williamson hit another one last night. This is quite a story of what Mac Williamson has done, at least right up to May 19th.
Yeah, I mean, it's reaching the point where, you know, it doesn't seem very flukish. You know, the guy really changed his stance. He modernized it with the launch angle theory, and everywhere he's been raking. He's been hitting home runs. I mean, let's see him. I can't wait to see him again with the Giants. You know, they need him. If he's gonna be that kind of hitter, he'll strike out a few times. But if he's gonna hit home runs and get a decent average up there, make a decent contact hitter, you got to have him.
Yeah. He's. I guess you can't have him up today or tomorrow, but I would imagine for sure he would be on the trip. It's going to be an interesting trip. As you say, with Houston, they go to the Cubs for three and finish it up with Colorado. So, but look, if you want to be a team, you got to beat the teams.
Yeah, they got to go 500 on that trip. You know, the standings, once again, are very, very kind. They're only four games out, but you still have to keep your head above water and stay with these other 500 teams.
All right. Well, we're not going to gamble today, but we'll get your picks on the Warriors tomorrow. We'll wait for you. All right. Have a good afternoon.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, that is the great Bruce Jenkins right here. All right, more coming up right here on the Sports Leader.